Hello and welcome to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA News. I'm your host, Emily Seiberg. This week, our guest on the show is West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis. Thanks so much for being with us. As you're listening, remember, you can email questions for Mayor Dennis or any of our mayors to ask@wbaa.org. And today, we're talking with Mayor Dennis about some of the protests that have been happening daily across the country in big cities and in small after George Floyd, a Black man, died in police custody in Minneapolis. That set off an enormous wave of demonstrations, and that has included the Lafayette area this week.
So let's talk about Sunday night specifically. So since you're the mayor of West Lafayette, you can talk us through how West Lafayette was specifically involved. Mm-hmm. You know, law enforcement, you know, a part of what was happening and the decisions that were happening. Mm-hmm. For example, what was your response when people began heading over the Myers Bridge into West Lafayette, mm-hmm. Turning around, coming back down the middle of State Street, at that point, still a very, I was walking with everyone. Mm-hmm. It was spirited. It was peaceful. Mm-hmm. What did you do in that moment? What did your members of law enforcement mm-hmm. do? How did you pivot as that was happening?
Well, basically what happened is that we had all the local jurisdictions responding. You know, when we were aware of what was going on, we felt it was imperative for us to have a strong show of police participation just to prevent the potential for something getting out of hand, prevent some violence, and prevent some damage to personal property. Lafayette and Tippecanoe County were staged up and down Main Street, and then the West Lafayette Police Department obviously was staged in West Lafayette. And they were over there for the purpose of, if needed, they could come to Lafayette, but also in the event that the march went across the river, which it did. Generally speaking, there is several different philosophies on dealing with crowd behavior. One thing that West Lafayette and Purdue Police are acclimated to is having a large number of people doing the same thing at the same time, home Purdue football games, as an example. So they have a pretty good response system in place. This was a little bit more volatile. This had the potential for that kind of volatility, and they were communicating very closely together. The chiefs were all within voice command of each other. We had Mayor Wozworski and myself and Commissioner Tracy Brown were at the Lafayette Police Department in the basement. It's basically a command center down there, which anecdotally didn't exist when I was there, which made me feel really old. But we were in a position to be able, through the technology that's available within that system, to be able to have visual contact with what was going on through the camera technology. And when we saw the march going up the State Street Hill, and we could see that West Lafayette responded appropriately by, basically monitoring. But they got to a certain point, and then everybody just came back down. And then they came back over to Lafayette. And that's when our agency went ahead and went back to their staging position. Now, having said that, because the command staff of all agencies meet routinely, they are in a very enviable position to be able to respond sort of in a unit fashion in the event that that's required. But the psychology of trying to decompress a situation like that changes as sort of the political environment changes, as the social dynamic changes. Again, something hypothetical like a really surprising Purdue victory is one thing, because often you're dealing with a particular demographic, and there's a reason to understand why the behavior is doing such. Arguably, it's somewhat positive. I mean, that unbridled enthusiasm is generally just as difficult to police sometimes as rage. But there is something that has some level of predictability. When you're dealing with an emotionally impactful and emotionally charged situation, when you're dealing with something that has been horrifically broadcast all around the world, when it has such a significant impact on the basic structure of our society, that becomes more of a challenge to try and deal with. You know, we try to do what we can when we're aware of certain circumstances. Both Mayor Wazworski and myself and Commissioner Brown, because of our prior history, we try to educate and inform a population base whenever we get the opportunity to do so. And we do appreciate that when you guys allow us to do that. But in all honesty, there is a lot of sincere emotions that sometimes cannot, they're not predictable. They're not, you can't say, well, because of this, it's not, you know, X plus Y equals Z. You have to be prepared for that. The other thing is there has to be an understanding of what that tolerance level is. Again, speaking in the hypothetical, do you allow a certain degree of property damage? Do you allow a group of people to go anywhere they want, or do you channel them to a certain and specific location? Do you use bullhorns and, as they say, hats and bats on police officers to try and intimidate people? You know, there's different theories about how this works. But I know here in Greater Lafayette, because of who our chiefs are and who our sheriff is, because of the exposure, experience, and education that they have, because of the communication that they have, they're not just communicants, they are friends. They speak casually as well as professionally. And they've worked with each other for decades. I think that allows for us to be in a better position to calm a crowd and to deal with it in a professional way that doesn't incite things, but hopefully calms things. And boy, that was a long answer. I'm sorry.
No, and I quickly want to remind everyone that you're listening to Ask the Mayor here on WBAA. We're talking with West Lafayette Mayor John Dennis right now. We are talking about the impact of some protests this week here in the Greater Lafayette area. And to what you just said, I'm getting questions from people about that concept of de-escalation. Mm-hmm. And the sequence of events that's kind of emerged is, okay, we started with a smoke canister and then we moved to tear gas. Mm-hmm. You know, why wasn't, for example, a megaphone, a bullhorn used? Mm-hmm. I was talking with Sheriff Goldsmith the other day. I think I told him I was seeing in Indianapolis there was a slightly smaller protest. You know, police said, "Hey, you have 10 minutes to disperse." Mm-hmm. You know, why? And in the moment, you know, from your perspective, and I know you're speaking here as mayor and as a former law enforcement person, mm-hmm. you know, what is your assessment of that? Could there have been another way to not go there quickly, another way to let everyone know mm-hmm. you have X amount of time to get out of here. Mm-hmm. And then after that, we're going to take these measures.
Yeah.
What's the best way?
Well, it's interesting. When I was in grad school, one of the programs I have a master's degree in criminology. And one of the courses of study I engaged in it's sort of a psychological concept of why bad things happen. And it's predicated on the belief system that there is some level of predictability with people who are very emotionally charged. And oftentimes you've got the potential for action on both the part of the protesters and the part of the officials, the law enforcement officials, and then you have the potential for reaction. And excuse me. Each time that dynamic enters into your course of action or your plan of action, there are subcategories of what's going to stimulate those decisions. And I'm not trying to sound like some academic nerd, because God knows I'm not. But there are things that you know cause a certain reaction, and then there's decision points that are made by the commanders of the people who are in charge, whether it be, you know, governors or presidents or mayors or whomever, say, we'll put up with this, but not that. And the property damage, in some cases, can reach a point to where it's going to completely cause chaos. It's going to cause people to get hurt. People are going to rush a certain area that might have broken glass in it. People are going to crush each other because of the trying to do one thing or another. And the deployment of either smoke or gas is generally intended to counter that initiative. It's not just done because we don't like people standing on the grass. In that particular case, there was vandalism. There was glass being broken. People were trying to kick in the doors. People mm-hmm. were trying to get into the courthouse.
Yeah.
There are certain things that bright line exists on and action must be taken. Obviously, it's a progression. It's like use of force. Use of force is all predicated on responding to certain physical activity on the part of the person you're dealing with. This situation is somewhat similar to that. You try smoke. If that doesn't work, you have to go to that next level, which is usually some sort of chemical irritant. The bad part about tear gas, and this is something I did at an interview with TV18 the other day, and you know Marvin, right? Mm-hmm. He was exposed to tear gas.
As was I.
Were you really?
I was.
A little learning course here. Mm-hmm. Just case in point, tear gas is a very heavy gas product, and the smoke itself is oily. And oftentimes the smoke won't necessarily irritate you, but it's on your hands, it's on your clothes, and if you rub your clothes and you rub your face, it's going to be immediately an irritant. And that's something that generally people don't know. So the next time you're running around in tear gas, just keep your hands in your pockets. But there, she just okayed me without saying it on the radio. But there is justification for use of force in any police situation. But it is on a continuum. Again, speaking in the most horrific type of hypothetical, and unfortunately, this has happened in our country before. The perception of the term force is somewhat subjective. It's not so much anymore because case law advocates a lot of stuff that we do in law enforcement. But there has been times in our history where it's gone from something physical to something armed on the part of police, where they have shot and killed protesters. Thank God we don't operate with that standard anymore. But there are rules in place. They've been supported by case law. And, you know, although sometimes they seem to be somewhat severe, there is an ulterior motive. There is an objective that we're trying to achieve.
So I know a task force has been created to identify, for example, who was behind throwing an explosive device mm-hmm. on Sunday, you know, who was behind the spray painting and, mm-hmm. and the breaking of the windows. Mm-hmm. And that's comprised of officers from the West Lafayette Police Department, Lafayette, mm-hmm. Sheriff's Department, Purdue. Mm-hmm. I guess, what can you tell us about that? And I guess the other thing I'm thinking about as well, if we're looking at this big group of protesters, mm-hmm. we have these specific actors within that group. Mm-hmm. You know, what are some of the dangers in possibly starting to perceive protesters in general as mm-hmm. a potential threat? You know, does it get to that point? You know, is someone a threat if they're at a protest and feeling something really deeply and they're yelling, they're mm-hmm. chanting, mm-hmm. you know,
it was kind of a cool moment. Mayor Wazworski, myself and Commissioner Brown, met with the protesters in front of Lafayette City Hall early on in the event. And there was probably a crowd, and I'm really bad at estimating numbers, but I'd say about 300 people there. Mm-hmm. And you were there because
yep.
you're walking around with your little rat tail thing.
With my microphone, everyone. That's what that
it's
was.
It's a microphone, but it looks like it looks like a squirrel kind of.
Anyway, yes, yeah, okay. I had my microphone.
Yeah, we'll get mm-hmm. on topic here. Mm-hmm. And the crowd was agitated, but not physically. They were very emotional. There was a lot of things being said.
Yes.
And when we came out, we were basically announced, and we all three spoke. And Tony and I and Tracy basically spoke with the same messaging. And it was a plea for calm. It was a conversation based on empathy, understanding the circumstances as best we could. And more importantly, to continue the dialogue. Don't let this be the only opportunity that you use to express what your feelings are. And it seemed to be well received. It seemed as though we were getting a lot of positive feedback, so much so that when it was over, we were physically embraced by several members. And you were there, you saw it, that were participating. And that to me was probably one of the strongest messages that I received that night. Because, you know, you talk about a group that is fearful, that is frustration, that is frustrated, that is angry, that wants answers, that has repeatedly seen this horrific murder take place on TV without any answers, coming from some of the people in positions of extreme authority and power to explain why and what the future is, and targeting a specific minority. There and then the three of us being former law enforcement. Tony was a captain at LPD. I was deputy chief at LPD, and Tracy Brown was sheriff at Tippecanoe County Sheriff's Department. We were in a unique position to be able to address some of those concerns, and hopefully to make people aware that there are things that happen around the world that will definitely not happen here.
So, a couple of people have brought this to my attention. I have it. I'm looking at an email right now about this as well. Yesterday, former President Obama, I'm reading this listener's email now, speaking on racism at a town hall, suggested change needed to start locally and challenged mayors to review police use of force policies with an eye to updating or changing them. I would hope the mayors in our area would do this. It would be interesting for us as citizens to know what those policies are. And I actually have here, Mayor Dennis. Yeah, that
he had actually, there was a website and it said join. I joined it.
Okay, so and I'm gonna read from this actually, because I saw that you had said that you had taken this pledge. So, mayors and other city, county, other city, county council officials, I can talk, are uniquely positioned to introduce common sense limits on police use of force. That's why the My Brother's Keeper Alliance, which again is an initiative of former President Obama, is calling on mayors to commit to the following actions. Number one, review your police use of force policies. Number two, engage your communities by including a diverse range of input, experiences, and stories in your review. Number three, report the findings of your review to your community and seek feedback. Number four, reform your community's police use of force policies. And then the website says, we will list the names of mayors who take the pledge on this page and release a report in 90 days.
Is my name on there?
I did not see your name on there yet. Listing all cities that have responded and reported on their progress.
Mm-hmm.
So we have review, engage, report, and reform.
Mm-hmm.
So can you tell us what's going on right now? What are you planning?
Well, I spoke to Chief Harris specifically about this. And things will change. There's going to be a lot more. It's going to get more parochial about how policies are reviewed and implemented. But there are good things that happen at a statewide and or national level, and then there's things that will probably gravitate down towards a more local level because of how unique each community is. But all of our policies are reviewed by a nationally recognized group of attorneys who work for a group that's called Lexipol. And that's who we contract with to review our policies to make sure that we're current with state and federal law and that we are following what they call national best practices. And again, this is a communal thing about making sure that there's just as much conversation about tactics and protocol as there is about de-escalation. The West Lafayette Police Department is also an accredited agency through Indiana, which requires, it's mandatory that we have best practices, and that all has to be placed within our policy manual. So we do our best with the given resources that we have to police ourselves. Also, our policies are reviewed and approved by our Police Merit Commission, which is a civilian board that is appointed by the police department, myself, and city council. And we try to make sure that that's a diverse group representing the uniqueness of our community. So we have a lot of these things currently in place, such things as shooting review boards, use of force continuums, all those exist. And trust me when I say this, famous last words, trust me. But when we do this, the intent isn't to respond to bad things that have happened, whether it be on a local, state, or national level. It's to prohibit them. Law enforcement has evolved so much. I remember when I was a young cop back in the early 80s, there were things that were going on that were just, holy smokes. I mean, you wouldn't think that was, or at least rumored to going on, that were going on. With Rodney King, with some of the other things that have happened, with the inconsistency on use of force continuums, the inconsistency on police force policies, the inconsistencies that we have with use of lethal force policies throughout the country. The International Chiefs Association realizes that these things need to be taken care of. There needs to be steps in place. There needs to be protocols in place. There needs to be public review, just to make sure that these sort of events don't happen. And you're fidgeting. Am I done?
That is our time for today. Mayor Dennis, thanks so much for being with us. You can find this program on our website, WBAA.org, along with an archive of our shows with the mayors of West Lafayette, Lafayette, Crawfordsville, and Frankfort. Keep sending in your questions to ask at WBAA.org. Thanks for listening.
Support for WBAA comes from your membership and Encompass Credit Union, supporting Ask the Mayor and offering a full line of financial services to the people of Clinton and Tipton counties while supporting the communities they serve. More information at EncompassCU.org.